happen in the motorcade route. Something, I repeat, has happened in the motorcade route.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Welcome to The End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. Unless you've been in a hole over the last month or so, you know there's a lot of attention being paid to the assassination of John F. Kennedy right now. With President Trump demanding the release of the files and then a task force being created that has been led by Representative Luna, all this has re-energized the search for the truth in JFK's death. My inbox has been jam-packed with hundreds of emails daily about my thoughts on all this and what and when I think something will happen. But occasionally I will receive an email criticizing me, my research, and saying that I have all but wasted 35 years now researching this case, as the truth was that the Warren Commission got it right all along. Most of the time I will respond with a brief few comments and thank them for listening to the podcast. But this past week I received a highly critical email and I went off on a short rant and I thought I would share some of that with you today. The person that wrote this email signed it as Mr. X, but claimed to be an ex-Secret Service agent and close friend of Secret Service agent Clint Hill. Mr. Hill, whom I have spoken with several times, was the only agent that seemed to react at all to the shots in Dealey Plaza that day, as he climbed on the back of the limo and shielded the President and First Lady on the ride to Parkland Hospital. Like I said, I've spoken to Mr. Hill many times, and I'm sad to say that Mr. Hill passed away last Friday at the age of 93 at his home in California. Hill, who was 31 years old on November 22, 1963, was assigned to First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy security detail in Dallas on the day President Kennedy was assassinated. Hill was photographed leaping onto the back of the convertible limousine to shield the President and First Lady the instant he heard shots fired. Quote, "I was running as fast as I could, my arm reaching out for the handholds on the truck, but it was like my legs were in quicksand," end quote. Quote, "Mrs. Kennedy was climbing out of the back of her seat, her terrified eyes looking but not seeing me like I wasn't there," end quote. Hill told the Warren Commission that he reached as quickly as he could, coming onto the back of the limousine and forcing the First Lady back into her seat before the motorcade sped off. Hill retired early from the Secret Service at the age of 43, after he was consumed with guilt over the President's death, despite being promoted for his actions that day and receiving Secret Service awards. Hill said, quote, "It was my fault. If I had reacted just a little bit quicker, and I could have, I guess, maybe the President would have lived," end quote. Clint Hill was a kind man, and his place in history left a scar on his heart that never healed. May God rest his soul. To summarize this very long email I received from the so-called Mr. X, and no, it's not the fictitious character played by Donald Sutherland in Oliver Stone's movie JFK. It basically said, among other things, that I should be ashamed for ever criticizing the Secret Service and the noble, upstanding man on the Warren Commission and the death of JFK, and I should not consider myself an American. He also demanded that I give him an overview of why I feel the way I do and explain why anyone should feel that the Secret Service had anything to do with Kennedy's death. Everyone is entitled to their opinion, but this email really got under my skin, so like I stated earlier, I sort of went on a rant. My response to the mysterious Mr. X was this: "Sir, first of all, if you are indeed an ex-Secret Service agent, may I say thank you for your service to our country. With that said, during the past 35 years that I've been researching JFK's murder, I've spent thousands and thousands of hours talking to witnesses, including maybe some of your ex-colleagues, digging through files and documents, and absorbing as much information as I could from other researchers and experts in this case. And you can criticize me all you want, but it is very well known that the Warren Commission was involved at least in the cover-up of this crime. But in regards to the Secret Service, that is an element of the case that has always been overlooked. There's a number of things that happen that don't get talked about enough, and it is the main reason that I hold members of the Secret Service partly responsible for what happened to John F. Kennedy on November 22, 1963. From the moment the President's trip to Dallas was planned to the moment he went through Dealey Plaza and was murdered, there are a series of events that took place that point directly to the Secret Service. And a lot of people, for one reason or another, have overlooked the Secret Service. During the Warren Commission, they talked about protection of the President and during the House Select Committee on Assassinations, they looked at whether protection of the president was adequate on that day in Dallas. But they left out some crucial pieces of the puzzle. President Kennedy was killed by a breakdown in a protective system that should have made the assassination impossible. The extremely poor performance of the president's bodyguards has led some people to suspect the Secret Service was somehow involved in a conspiracy to kill Kennedy, although there has never been any proof that that was so. The reason for the Secret Service's neglect remains one of the intriguing mysteries of the JFK assassination. Based on the information now available 61 years after the assassination, there is a consensus among those who have investigated President Kennedy's Secret Service protection. The consensus is, JFK's protection was inadequate. Indeed, the protection was so defective that it dangerously increased the likelihood that an assassination plan involving one or more concealed snipers firing into the presidential limousine would succeed. By making the murder of JFK easier and the undetected escape of the assassins more likely, this Secret Service bungling contributed to the assassination. Typically, the Warren Commission whitewashed the Secret Service, finding that on the whole there had been no fundamental lapse in Kennedy's protective security, although it did fault the Secret Service for not conducting a prior inspection of the buildings along the motorcade route. The master rule of physical protection of heads of state by security officials is that meticulous preparation of protective measures will preclude any successful assassination attempt. But there was no meticulous protection on November 22, 1963. The Secret Service made the killing of the president, which could have been prevented, possible. The awful truth kept from the public for years is that but for the Secret Service's blunders, President Kennedy would not have been slain. The consensus that JFK's protection was seriously flawed began emerging in 1979 when, after a two-year reinvestigation of the assassination, the U.S. House of Representatives Select Committee on Assassinations issued a final report, which concluded without a doubt, quote, "the Secret Service was deficient in the performance of its duties," end quote. Specifically, the Assassinations Committee found that, quote, "the Secret Service possessed information that was not properly analyzed, investigated, or used by the Secret Service in connection with the president's trip to Dallas," end quote. The committee also concluded, quote, "Secret Service agents in the motorcade were not prepared to protect the president from a sniper. In the physical protection of the president, there was a failure to arrange for prior inspection of buildings along the motorcade route, and a lack of discipline and bad judgment by some members of the Secret Service protective detail in Dallas, who were out drinking until 3 a.m. in the morning on the day of the assassination," end quote. Due to Secret Service directives, escort security for the presidential limousine during the Dallas motorcade may have been uniquely insecure. The day before the Dallas visit, at a meeting with local police officials to finalize the arrangements for the motorcade, the Secret Service oddly ordered, quote, "a reduction of security of protection in terms of the number and placement of Dallas police officers who would escort the limousine during the motorcade through the city." Here's Deputy Sheriff Roger Craig talking about the security for the president that day in downtown Dallas and how they were told to stand off and not take part in the security in any way.
Where were you on the day of the assassination of John Kennedy?
I was standing out in front of the sheriff's office, which at that time was at 505 Main Street. They've moved it since then, but it was at 505 Main Street, directly in front of the front door.
Was the motorcade passing that area at that time?
No, we had to wait about 15 minutes before the motorcade arrived, but the sheriff had sent us out there that early to wait.
Were you merely a spectator or on duty?
Well, no, I was on duty, but a couple hours before Kennedy was to arrive, the sheriff called us in, what I call the street people, the plainclothesmen, the detectives, and he instructed us that we were to stand out in front and in no way take part in the security of that motorcade. That we were merely spectators and nothing more.
Did that seem unusual to you?
It did to me at the time because there were so many people around and so few Dallas police officers. This is one of the first things I noticed was the lack of Dallas police officers.
For example, the number of police motorcycles accompanying the limousine itself was reduced from 8 to 4. And usually, these 4 motorcyclists were directed not to flank the limousine, but instead to stay behind the limousine's rear fender. By contrast, When the president motorcaded through Houston on November 21st, his limousine was flanked by six motorcycles. The committee went on to say, quote, besides limiting the motorcycle protection, the Secret Service prevented the Dallas Police Department from inserting into the motorcade, behind the vice presidential car, a Dallas Police Department squad car containing homicide detectives, end quote. The current consensus that the Secret Service was derelict in its duties is supported by an abundance of information that necessarily also confirms the verdict reached by the House Assassinations Committee 45 years ago. That information includes, in the months preceding the assassination, the Secret Service became aware of several reported plots to shoot JFK, although this startling fact was unknown to the public until years after the Warren Commission's official investigation. In March 1963, more than 6 months before the assassination, the Secret Service received a postcard warning that JFK would be assassinated while riding in a motorcade. This warning resulted in additional protection being furnished the president when he visited Chicago that month. In October 1963, the Secret Service received reports of one or more plots to shoot JFK with high-powered rifles when he motorcaded through Chicago on a visit scheduled for November 2nd. The visit was canceled at the last minute. In the words of the House Assassinations Committee, in planning for the Dallas trip, quote, the Secret Service failed to make appropriate use of the information supplied it by the Chicago threat in early November 1963, end quote. On November 9, 1963, just 2 weeks before John F. Kennedy was assassinated, a violence-prone racist agitator from Quinton, Georgia, named Joseph Adams Mateer, had a lengthy conversation in a Miami, Florida hotel room with a man named Willie Somerset, in the course of which Mateer told Somerset about a plot that was afoot to assassinate JFK. Unknown to Mateer, Somerset was a police informer and was secretly tape recording the conversation. The transcript of that tape conversation reveals that Mateer told Somerset that the killing of Kennedy was, quote, in the working, and that the president could be killed, quote, from an office building with a high-powered rifle, that the rifle could be disassembled to get into the building, and that they will pick up somebody within hours afterward, if anything like that would happen, just to throw off the public. Scholars have duly noted the resemblance of the facts that Mateer related about this plot against JFK, and the facts forming the basis of the Warren Commission's official account of the assassination. Somerset promptly gave the tape recording to local Miami police, who immediately forwarded it to both the Secret Service and the FBI. After a hurried investigation that apparently did not include interviewing Mateer, the Miami Field Office of the Secret Service prepared a file on Mateer titled, Alleged Possible Threats Against the President, end quote. Here's the tape conversation between Mateer and Somerset on November 9, 1963.
I don't know, Kennedy's coming here, I think on the 18th or something like that, to make some kind of speech. I think it's the 18th he's supposed to be here to make a speech. I don't know what it's about.
If you can bet your bottom dollar, you're going to have a lot to say about the killing.
Willie Somerset, a union organizer with extensive right-wing political ties, was the Miami police informant. Joseph Mateer was the wealthy, rabble-rousing racist from Quitman, Georgia.
Yeah, that would be a real shame if they do that.
That would be That's right. Well, somebody's going to have to go to jail if he gets on. Why the hell do you think the best way would be to get him? I'll spill it. The high bar. And they're going to really try to kill it.
Miltier was interviewed by the FBI and then released. He perished in a mysterious house fire a few years later. The Warren Commission ignored the Miami connection and a further opportunity to determine the truth.
Beginning late on the afternoon of Monday, November 18, 1963, the Monday before the Friday Dallas visit, President Kennedy traveled to Miami, Florida. Extra precautions were taken there to protect the president. JFK did most of his traveling through the Miami area in a helicopter instead of in a motorcade. And during the motorcading that did occur, his open limousine drove the entire route at speeds of 40 to 50 miles an hour. Information about the plot revealed by Miltier apparently was not passed on to the Secret Service officials responsible for the trip to Dallas. On Monday, November 18, 1963, before his visit later that same day to Miami, President Kennedy motorcaded through Tampa, Florida. The Secret Service became concerned that an attempt might be made to assassinate JFK during that visit. The Secret Service concerns arose because from unknown sources, it became aware of a threat that an unidentified rifleman shooting from a window in a tall building with a high-powered rifle fitted with a scope might assassinate JFK while the president was being driven through Tampa. The Tampa assassination attempt was avoided by beefing up escort security for the presidential motorcade. Over 600 law enforcement officers protected JFK. It is unclear whether the alleged Tampa plot was separate from or related to the assassination plot Joseph Miltier spoke of. The Dallas assassination can never again be viewed in isolation. It must be viewed in the context of the various Chicago, Miami, and Tampa plots against the president reported in the months before the assassination. We now know that the Dallas assassination occurred against the background of several recent plots to shoot JFK, plots that the Secret Service was fully aware of. The ghastly truth appears to be that Kennedy was, in fact, being stalked in the final weeks of his life. In the final months of his life, John Kennedy seemed a marked man, encircled by a tightening knot of treachery. Because the Secret Service must have realized that JFK was in a dangerous situation, the inadequate protection furnished him on November 22, 1963 is baffling. Why, for example, did the Secret Service authorize two highly unusual sharp turns for the motorcade in Dealey Plaza? And why was the limousine proceeding along at an extraordinary low speed of only 11.2 miles an hour when it came under fire? In 1963, Secret Service practices required that buildings along a presidential motorcade route be inspected in advance if either the motorcade route was a standard one that had been used in the past, or if there was a specific reason to suspect the occupants or activities in a certain building. President Kennedy's Dallas motorcade route had been the standard route for motorcades for years. For this reason alone, the building along the motorcade should have been subjected to inspection before the motorcade traveled past him. Furthermore, as we now know, the Secret Service for months had been aware of possible plots in several cities to shoot the president from a building, and JFK was definitely in danger of being murdered in Dallas. A month before the assassination, the U.S. Ambassador of the United Nations, Adlai Stevenson, had been assaulted and spat upon by right-wing demonstrators in Dallas, simply because he was a liberal Democrat. Dallas was a city with a deserved reputation for right-wing anti-Kennedy extremism, and there were many tall buildings along the motorcade route. Even though there was no reason to suspect any particular building, inspecting those buildings should, under the circumstances, have been deemed mandatory. However, as previously noted, when the president visited Dallas, no prior inspection of the buildings along the motorcade route was made. With a few exceptions, Secret Service agents in the motorcade performed poorly when the shots rang out. The 54-year-old agent driving the presidential limousine failed to accelerate the moment the shooting began. Instead, he hesitated, applying the limousine's brakes and slowing it down to such a degree that many Dealey Plaza eyewitnesses thought that the vehicle had actually stopped. He twice swiveled his head backwards to look at Kennedy, and he did not put his foot on the gas and sped away until after JFK suffered the fatal headshot, captured in blood red on frame number 313 of the Zapruder film. At the time, Secret Service guidelines provided, quote, "The driver of the president's car should be alert for dangers and be able to take instant action when instructed or otherwise made aware of an emergency," end quote. In violation of other Secret Service procedures, The 48-year-old agent in the right front seat made no attempt to move to the president and shield him. This, it is true, would have been difficult, because a special handlebar for the president to hold onto while standing in the limousine made it very hard for someone in the right front seat to get in the rear compartment. Nonetheless, the agent should have at least made an effort to get to the president. He should not have just sat there. The agent standing on the running board of the follow-up car that trailed the limousine by 5 feet also seemed drugged and was sluggish. After the sound of gunfire had been heard, and while JFK was visibly reacting to bullet wounds, they stood there dully, some looking at him, and some turning to look behind them in the direction of the initial shot, which most likely was a diversionary shot to deflect attention away from the shooters in other locations. Only one of the agents, the courageous and alert Clint Hill, possessed the initiative, the quickness, and the physical bravery to jump from the follow-up car and race to climb on the limousine before it sped off. But by the time Hill actually got to the president, the gunfire was over, and JFK was mortally wounded, basically dead. U.S. Senator Ralph Yarborough, who witnessed the assassination, told the Warren Commission, quote, "All of the Secret Service agents seemed to me to respond very slowly, with no more than a puzzled look on their face. I am amazed at the lack of instantaneous response by the Secret Service when the rifle fire began," end quote. Somewhere along the line, the agents guarding JFK had neglected the first rule of security. They had lost their reflexes. The slow response of the agents may be because of a combination of alcohol consumption, sleep deprivation, and fatigue. In blatant violation of Secret Service regulations, the night before the assassination, 9 agents, including 4 in the follow-up car, had been out late drinking. Secret Service regulations strictly prohibited the agents on the White House detail from any use of intoxicating liquor of any kind, including beer and wine, while traveling with the president. Violation or slight disregard of this rule was cause for removal from the Secret Service. Furthermore, 6 of the 9 agents stayed out until around 3 a.m., while the 7th did not return to his room until 5 a.m. It is nearly unbelievable that despite multiple recent reports of sinister plans to shoot the president in his limousine, agents were out drinking and partying late on the night before a visit to a dangerous place like Dallas. Subsequent to the assassination, the Secret Service acted as though it had something to hide by engaging in a suspicious pattern of secretly suppressing or destroying records relating to the assassination, even when forbidden to do so by law. The Secret Service withheld from the public the information it possessed relating to Joseph Miltier's taped conversation with Willie Somerset. Miltier is never mentioned in the Warren Report or the 26 volumes of documents published by the Warren Commission. If it had been up to the Secret Service, however, the public might still not know of the assassination plot Miltier talked about. When the Secret Service's Protective Research Section files for 1963 were computerized, the original files were destroyed instead of being preserved. As Douglas Horn explains in his 1995 book entitled Inside the Assassination Records Review Board, the Secret Service destroyed Presidential Protection Survey reports for some of President Kennedy's trips in the fall of 1963. Among the records destroyed were those for the canceled Chicago trip in early November 1963. At the same time, the Secret Service destroyed a folder of vital records for the period July through November 1963. This destruction of crucial documents of historical importance occurred notwithstanding the John F. Kennedy Assassination Materials Disclosure Act of 1992, which provides that, quote, "all records in the possession of the government relevant to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy should be released to the public at the earliest opportunity," end quote. And though the Secret Service had been advised by the National Archives not to destroy their assassination records, they did so anyway. And last but certainly not least in my response to Mr. X is a man that doesn't get spoken about enough when speaking of the Secret Service lack of protection of JFK. Gerald or Jerry Bain, the special agent in charge of the White House detail and the most senior agent on the detail, was on vacation and did not accompany JFK on the trips to Florida or Texas. He took his first vacation in 4 years the week JFK was assassinated. Oddly, however, Jerry Bain was in his office in Washington, D.C. when the assassination occurred. He was supposed to be on vacation, but he had come into the office for just a couple hours. As the most senior Secret Service agent on the detail, Bain usually was at the president's side wherever Kennedy was, away from the White House, and on trips he occupied the right front seat of the presidential limousine. This means, of course, that despite the known threats to JFK's safety posed by gunmen, and despite the fact that he was traveling to a dangerous place, JFK was, on his visit to Dallas, not accompanied by the experienced supervisory agent who ordinarily was in close personal attendance when the president appeared in public or traveled. With the president in such apparent danger on his trip, Jerry Bain had chosen a most inopportune time to take a vacation. When the special agent in charge was unavailable, an assistant special agent in charge would closely accompany the president on trips and sit in the right front seat of the limousine. Contrary to the usual practice, however, Jerry Bain's deputy, Floyd Boring, an assistant special agent in charge of the White House detail, was at home on an unusual day off of November 22, 1963. Agent Floyd Boring was relaxing at home on a rare day off when he got the call telling him of the assassination. This means that Boring had picked a peculiar time to take the day off, since he knew about the dangers of the Dallas visit, and also knew that Jerry Bain was not traveling to Dallas. It also means that while on his hazardous visit to Dallas, JFK unusually was not accompanied by either of the experienced agents who usually were in close proximity to him while traveling. Because of the absence of Bain and Boring, another assistant special agent in charge of the White House detail, Roy Kellerman, sat in the right front seat of the limousine as it motorcaded through Dallas. The Dallas visit appears to have been Kellerman's first major trip as a supervisory agent. It was Kellerman, however, who mysteriously remained in his seat and made no effort to get to or shield the president when his shots began firing. At the time of the assassination, the White House detail was in a weakened condition due to the recent resignations and transfers. Nearly one-third of the 34 agents on the White House detail assigned to protect JFK, including a number of experienced agents, had recently resigned or been transferred. In the 2 months leading up to the assassination, 11 of the most experienced agents on the Kennedy detail had been replaced. This means that despite several known plots to assassinate the president, the Secret Service nonetheless was permitting numbers of its experienced agents to leave the detail. Shouldn't it have been obvious under the circumstances that allowing so many experienced agents to depart was unwise? Most of the information I have shared with you today tends to support the general agreement that the Secret Service did not do its job on November 22, 1963. Now, Mr. X, you know why I hold some of the members of the Secret Service responsible for allowing JFK to be brutally murdered right before our eyes. If you like what you hear every week and want to learn more about the assassination, please pick up my book, The End of Innocence, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's available right now on Amazon, or you can find it at www.endofinnocencejfk.com. In honor of the release of the JFK assassination records, I'm sending out signed copies of my book. If you would like one of these, please email me at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. The price is $40 for the soft cover and $60 for the hardcover, plus shipping and handling. I can promise you, you won't be disappointed in the book. It's an oversized coffee table style book. The book is over 500 pages with almost 1,000 pictures. You won't be disappointed. And hey, send me your comments about the book or this podcast at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.